You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome to this edition of the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. This time we're looking ahead to the action that we've got coming up on Friday the 13th of December. And it's a good day of racing action as well. We're of course at Cheltenham for the first day of their December meeting. And we're also at Bangor-on-Dee in the afternoon. We're at Doncaster in the afternoon as well. Chelmsford gets underway at 4 o'clock over in Dundalk in the evening. So lots to look forward to. It's live on Racing Radio. We get underway at 11.40 in the morning, so a nice early start. Set your alarm clocks, in fact, because Bangor-on-Dee does still start in the morning at 11.50, their first race. So it's going to be a long day, but plenty of winners to be found. And you can join the team in the studio, who are going to be trying to point you in the direction of those winning bets, Gordon Brown, Ross Bridie and Gareth Toppin. But on the podcast, my name's John Gibby. Andrew Mount is the man alongside me. Hello, Andrew.
Yeah, greetings, John. How are you?
Yes, good to have you with us on the podcast once again. Have you been keeping well?
Yes, not so bad, thank you.
Are you one for getting in the festive spirit?
More so since I met my wife, who has cured the Grinch in me, according to her. So, we shall be getting into the full swing of things very soon.
That's very nice. That's like the plot for a low-budget Christmas rom-com of some description.
Hey, forget the low budget. I think we should really go to town on this one.
Excellent.
It's got Oscar winning all over it, I think.
Of course, Christmas means great racing as well, and we've got that to look forward to over the coming weeks, including at Cheltenham this weekend. And, as we record this on Thursday, we have had the field confirmed for the Caspian Caviar Gold Cup Handicap Chase, a big betting race of the day on Saturday. And we've got some prices for this one. These are, of course, all at time of recording with us here at William Hill. Riders on the Storm, 4-1 favourite, 13-2 for Seepage. Secret Investor is 7-1. Not That Fusey is 9-1. Braylandar, 10-1. Goodman Pat, 11-1. Clondor Castle is 12-1. 12s for Robin DeForey. Generous Day, 14-1. It's also 14s, Layla and Warthog, and its bigger prices for the rest. So a competitive race. As always, Andrew, what did you make of the field this year?
Yeah, I've bet one anti-post for this. That was Not That Fusey for Dan Skelton. It's really caught the eye in some novice chases since he's been switched to fences. Second at Uttoxeter, only beaten a length over this 2.5 mile trip, and then two runs at over 2 miles. One here at Cheltenham on the old course behind Al Dancer, finishing second, and then last time out at Warwick, I thought he ran much better than the finishing position of a fourth suggested. Looks to have been campaigned with handicaps in mind, and very interesting to see him off a mark of 131 here. I think he's capable of achieving a much higher rating over fences. And could do without any rain. I know there's been rain in the Midlands at Warwick, so hopefully that doesn't get to Cheltenham, because his winds have come on officially good ground, although he's got plenty of placed form on softer going. And I think now he's going handicapping, he's the type to improve for a big field strong pace scenario. I think that Not That Fusey at 9-1 is the pick here. But several interesting rivals, not least Warthog. Second time after the wind operation, ran really well first time after the surgery, when finishing third to Happy Diva in the big race at the Cheltenham November meeting. And I thought he might be able to build on that. I thought 14-1 was a fair price for him. So, those are my two that I like at this stage. I'd also give a favourable mention to Spirit of the Games, who's not had things go his way in two runs this season. The ground was too soft when he was pulled up behind Happy Diva, and probably the race came too soon at Newbury, when only 11th of the 12 runners next time out. So coming back to Cheltenham's new course, where he ran a close third behind Cyril Dulac and Janika at the festival last season on better ground, assuming this the current going description doesn't ease, then Spirit of the Games, a stable mate of Not That Fusey, could also run well, and he's 25-1.
Yeah, big price, in fact. Make sure you check out all the betting, of course, online via the William Hill app ahead of the big race. What do we make of the favourite riders on the Storm? who was a winner at Aintree back on the 9th of November on stable debut for Nigel Twiston Davis. The trainer's son Sam takes the ride once again. He's the favourite. We've seen a little bit of money for him. Of course, he was formerly trained over in Ireland. He's an interesting recruit for the Twiston Davis team.
Yeah, very much so, but he's £13 higher than for that stable debut victory, which would be a bit of a concern. And I thought he was reasonable enough, but I don't see him as a 4-1 shot or thereabouts. I thought he was more sort of 8-1 to 10-1 kind of range, really. And very different track here, of course, as well. So, just seems a little bit on the skinny side for me. And he's a scorpion as well. We know they can be quirky. Might Bite being the best recent example. You know, high class Gold Cup winner, but also prone to doing the occasional crazy thing.
And I'm really interested to see how Layla runs here as well, who I was going to say returning to handicaps, but did run in a handicap last time in the Holland Gold Cup, which I guess you don't really think of as being a handicap, but of course it is a limited handicap. Spent all of last season running in some of the top novice chases for the most part, well, not just for the most part, pretty much from the debut onwards, didn't really hit the heights, but I don't know. I wonder if he could be the kind of horse who, with his sights lowered a little bit this season into these sorts of races, still very competitive, but not quite as classy, might be able to make a mark.
Possibly. I mean, the cheek pieces go on for the first time, but I'd worry about the stable form. It's 328 days and 41 runners since Kayleigh Woollacott's last winner. So I'd like to see more positive signs from the yard before backing one of her runners.
Yeah, that's probably a fair point. Okay, so that's at Cheltenham on Saturday, but let's turn our attention to what's happening on Friday now, Andrew, because as usual on the podcast, you've come up with two selection trusts for the day's action, so why don't you let us know where they're going to run?
Yep, good meeting, and the first race I'm going to get involved in is the 120, the handicap hurdle over the 2-mile, 1-furlong trip. And there's a runner here that I like from the Robert Wolford yard. Now, this was a stable that was out of form, really struggled for the first sort of 7 or 8 weeks of the season, but recent signs have been far more encouraging. Of course, Walk on the Mill won the Beecher Chase last weekend, and 24 hours earlier they had a winner at Sandown in a handicap chase. Now, Manvers House ran well on his reappearance on the 13th of November at a time when the yard's runners were generally struggling. That was his first run back after wind surgery. He ran up against a horse called Smarty Wild at Exeter and so went down by 2 lengths in second place. Then the winner has since placed in a listed handicap hurdle at Sandown. So, the form has been given one or two other boosts as well. So Manvers House for the yard, who won this race 2 years ago, I think he's going to build on that debut effort if he's improved for the wind operation, as horses often do. It's sometimes better to back them a second time after the surgery rather than first time. And I think Manvers House on ground that will suit could be the way to go here.
Okay, Manvers House then. Robert Wolford and James Best in that 120 at Cheltenham on Friday. No prices for that at time of recording, but they will pop up on the William Hill website a little bit later on, so look out for that. What about your other selection?
It's going to go in the 230. This is the Grade 3 handicap chase over the 3.25 mile trip. And
good races.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a cracker. Now, because the market's headed by West Approach at 7-2, who unseated when favourite for the race formerly known as the Hennessy last time out. My theory with West Approach is that he needs a small field. Now, you look at his chase wins; they've come in fields of 6 runners, 4 runners, and 7 runners. Even his bumper win came in a field of 6, and his only win over hurdles came in a field of 5. So he's never won in a field of more than 7 runners. Okay, he's placed several times in bigger fields, but he's never won. And if you're looking to take back a short price favourite, you want everything to be in his favour. So that's one of the reasons for going against him. Cogree for the Twiston Davis yard won this last year as a 9-year-old. And we have had a couple of older winners of this race as well in recent years, a 10-year-old in 2014 and an 11-year-old Aitchin for Venetia Williams 12 months later. So don't be surprised to see him go well again. Single farm payment is a horse I admire because he's so quirky, but I can't back him. He travels strongly. Often looks like he's going to get involved in the finish and then sort of finishes second, third or fourth.
So I absolutely guarantee single farm payment is going to be beaten half a length in this race.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of if you had to have one in the play spot to bank on, you'd probably put single farm payment in. But if someone gave you a tenner to put on the nose on the horse in this race, he's the last one, even though this horse is at 25-1, more than 4 times his price. But I'm going to go for Impulsive Star here for Neil Mulholland, ridden by Sam Whaley-Cohen. Now, Mulholland does really well at the Cheltenham off meetings. By that, I mean those outside of the festival. And impulsive start. Hasn't run yet this season. He was due to run at Ascot, but apparently he scoped badly, so they pulled him out. And he goes really well fresh, which is the key to him here. And when he was trained in Ireland, he won on his rules debut, winning a bumper at Cork. Switched to Neil Mulholland for his next start at in November 2016. He won that. You go back to the start of 2017, he looked set to win before falling late at Catterick. 2018, first time out, he was second at Plumpton, and then he won at Warwick on his second start. So, you know, first or second time out, it's often the time to catch him. And he hasn't got the greatest record at Cheltenham, but then he's rarely run here when he's fresh. So I think Impulsive Star could be the way to go. So the yards not been in supersonic form at the moment, but they've had enough sort of, you know, run well without winning for me not to worry about that too much. Finger on the Switch was second at 20-1 in the big field at Wincanton the other day, so at a double figure price I think we're 11-1 Impulsive Star in what is a very interesting race.
It's interesting with Impulsive Star because they seem to spend a lot of the latter half of last season trying to turn him into this proper extreme distance chaser. Ran in the 4 mile at the Cheltenham Festival in which he was pulled up. And I'm personally not sure if going forward actually those extreme trips are going to be what he's going to excel over. I think maybe more like 3 and 3.25 miles, still staying distance.
That's right. I mean, he's won over 3.5, 2.7, 2.5, albeit over hurdles. So he's perhaps not won the races he should do, should have done over fences. But I think the key is he's just best fresh. He's lightly raced for his age. So he's a 9-year-old, but he's only had 14 starts under rules. And I think a good gap between races is perhaps what he needs. You know, maybe he can run well for his first 2 starts after a break, but thereafter he's probably going to need sort of 6 or 8 weeks off. So let's hope that that theory is correct and he can land this.
Okay, well, that's Impulsive Star. Currently at 11-1. Should probably just go through the prices briefly, in fact, for that race, because we have priced this one up at time of recording. West Approach, 7-2. Kokiri, 11-2. 6-1, Dandy Dan. Single Farm Payment, 6-1. 13-2, 1 for the Road Tom. Rock the Casbah, 7-1. 11-1 for Impulsive Star, and it's 14-1 and Bigger for the rest. That's the 2:30 at Cheltenham Grade 3 Handicap Chase coming up on Friday. It's live on Racing Radio. In addition to the rest of the day's action, of course, that great card that we do have at Cheltenham, and then Doncaster, Banger in the afternoon as well, and Chelmsford and Dundalk in the evening. So please do join us for that over the course of the day. Join us tomorrow as well, when we'll have another edition of the Daily Racing Podcast. And Andrew, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, John.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.